love to receive gifts. Anybody here in my camp? I mean, you don't feel unspiritual. People are like, can I admit that at church? I love to receive gifts. I love birthdays. I love Christmas. I love Pastor Appreciation Month. I love free tickets to the Nuggets game that I was given not too long ago. My family went down. We had a great time. The Nuggets missed the playoffs this year. They're not that great. We haven't been great in a really, really long time. I'm not sure if ever. But it was really fun. And after church one weekend, somebody gave me some tickets. And we went down to watch the Phoenix Suns play the Nuggets. And it was just a great time. Just a lot of fun. Rocky was there, the famous mascot. Have you guys met Rocky? And actually, we got our picture made with the kids and Rocky, which is kind of cool because Rocky's hard to pin down sometimes. He's like all over the Pepsi Center, you know? And you got to put that dude on a chain to get him calmed down. But we got his picture made. And then they gave out like Rocky bobblehead action figure type things. And we got that at the house. And we just had a great time. And I got home and I was like, Gina, isn't that great that we got to go to the Nuggets game, and I was like, and we had such a great time, and it was free. Like, how great is that? I mean, we didn't have to pay a dime. You know you're really having a good time when other people are paying for it, amen? It's really good. And I'm just don't feel bad telling you, I just love to receive gifts. I was over at Starbucks the other day, and I just walked in, and I started to study for the message this morning, and somebody conspired with the barista and bought my favorite drink at Starbucks, and boom, I had it, and I was filled with the Spirit. It was really great, and I love to receive gifts, and that's why this passage that I want to share with you this morning is kind of a weird passage, because most of the time we think about getting and receiving, and we don't think about giving as being quite as good as giving, because we love to get so much. And so I looked at this passage earlier, and I was like, what was Jesus talking about? But in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, the Bible says this, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, because he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And it's the only quote of Jesus outside of the Gospels. And there is no doubt that the early church was reciting this particular phrase and this sentence that Jesus had inspired so many of his disciples with. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. The Apostle Paul here in Acts chapter 20 is giving his farewell speech to the Ephesian leaders of the church. And he's kind of like telling them, I love you guys. Y'all are awesome. Stay faithful. Do everything I told you. Paul spent 3 years at the city of Ephesus, longer than any other stint on his missionary journeys. And, you know, you can learn a lot about somebody by what their final words are, right? I mean, if you've ever had that hard conversation with somebody that was passing away, and it was like the last conversation, and you knew it, and they knew it, or maybe somebody was moving away, and you knew you weren't going to see them, that last conversation says so much about really what was in their heart. Well, that's the context surrounding Acts 20, verse 35. And so Paul's telling the Ephesian leaders, hey guys, listen, you're more blessed to give than you are to receive. But the question is, how is that the case? Because, I mean, if you think about it, if I give you something, then I have less and you have more, so how am I blessed, right? I mean, just do the math a little bit on that. How is that supposed to work? I want to give you four things today that I think relate to what Jesus was probably talking about when he said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And I want you to write these things down on your notes there in your worship folder. You can pull those out because the Bible has a lot to say about generosity. And we've been in this series called Monopoly. We've been talking about breaking the monopoly over our stuff. Because Jesus said you can't have two masters. You can't serve both God and mammon. And the word mammon is a big fancy word that can also be translated money. So you can't serve both God and money. You got to pick one or the other. So we want to break the monopoly over our lives. But generosity is an awesome thing because generosity gives me tremendous freedom. It gives me tremendous freedom. And see, when I have a generous heart, it allows me to break free from greed, from covetousness, and from other struggles in the heart. And covetousness is another big fancy word. I love that word, covetousness. I can hardly say it. It's an awesome word, but it means to want what you've got. Like, so when I see you, I'm like, man, I wish that I had his wife, and I wish that I had his car, and I wish I lived in their house. That's covetousness. I got to have what you got. And that's one of the Ten Commandments, isn't it? Don't covet. Don't covet. And this is one of the things that's in our heart. And when we give, it pushes covetousness out of our heart, and it brings freedom. Okay? It also pushes pride out of our heart when we give. Because what does it do? It says, it isn't all about me. It's all about him. Right? And it begins to reorient and redirect some of our priorities. It pushes out greed. You know, sometimes we struggle with greed. We buy dumb things. Have you ever bought something before and you thought, man, this is going to be the end all be all. This is so amazing. I can't wait to use this. And then after you've had it a few hours, you're like, oh, that wasn't all that great. Sometimes we mount up massive debts buying things we don't really need. I mean, I could get by, I don't have to have that, but yet I feel like I have to have that. And that's greediness. And greediness brings elitism. Elitism is like, I can only hang with certain people. I can only run in these circles. I'm not going to talk to those people. All of that stems from selfishness, greed, problems in the heart. And listen, generosity begins to eat away at all of that. And I think this is perhaps one of the reasons why Jesus said is more blessed to give than to receive, because it allows my heart to be free and not controlled by my own sin, my own junk, my own stuff in my life. In verse 33 of the 20th chapter of Acts, in the same speech, the apostle said, I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. So he says, you know what? It's more blessed. You're more blessed if you give than when you receive. And don't covet, he says. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, the apostle said this, for the love of money is the root of what? All kinds of evil. I mean, the Bible doesn't say there's just one kind of evil. When it comes to money, people can get wicked in a lot of different ways, right? People can get tricky wicked. People can get crazy evil. Because the root of it is the love of money. Now, money's not the root of all evil. Sometimes people get this mixed up and they think, is money bad? Money is not good or bad. It's what money does in our heart. And it can either make us more generous or it can make us more stingy. Make us more greedy. So it's the love of money. I have to have it. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. See, so if we develop this heart of generosity, then we begin to push out all this kinds of evil that's eating away at our own life. And we don't want to do that, right? So let's push it out. Jesus told a story in Luke chapter 12, the parable of the rich fool. It's kind of a parable that most people don't think about or read about, but Jesus tells a story about a man, and he is a real successful businessman, and he has a real successful harvest, and he builds a bigger barn, and he says, I'm just going to hunker down, and I got my big fat barn, I'm going to use all my stuff, I don't need God, I don't need anybody else, I'm just going to hoard everything, and I'm good. And Jesus said, that man is a fool. The parable of the rich fool, right? Sometimes we think that people that are wealthy are wise, but not necessarily so. You can be rich and foolish. You can be poor and wise. You can be poor and foolish. You can be rich and wise. So these things are not one or the other, but it's what money does in our heart that really, really, does it make us grateful? Does it make us generous? Does it make us others and God-focused, or does it make us more self-indulgent? Does it make us just think about ourselves? And this is the parable of the rich fool, and Jesus corrects it. Materialism makes us dependent on self and pride. And the problem is that man is the solution, not God. And we have a huge problem with that. But a person's net worth doesn't tell you anything about their heart. And we have to look on the inside and say, God, what do you want to say to me? Many times we pray, Lord, bless me. How many of you have ever prayed that prayer before? Lord, bless me. Anybody? Oh, come on, you're a liar if you hadn't prayed that. Come on, or crazy, I don't know. That's like the greatest prayer of all. Lord, bless it. Amen. Isn't that good? You ought to try it. That's good. Try a little of that. It's good stuff. Lord, bless me, right? We pray that. The Lord's blessing is it might be the most powerful force in the universe. When God says, I'm going to bless her, when God says, I'm going to bless him, you can't touch it. You cannot stop it. It's pretty amazing. I want to know everything that I can know about the Lord's blessing. Because the Lord's blessing is amazing, and I want a little of that to get on me. And the Bible says that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. It really is. It's counterintuitive, isn't it? It really is. Randy Alcorn is kind of a Christian expert on possessions, money, generosity, whatever you want to call it. And he had this on his website, and he said, to be free from ego and pride and covetousness and those things we just talked about, Christians should practice giving in these ways. He says we ought to give regularly. So that's stewardship. In other words, you know, we don't just bring tithes like once a year. We bring tithes when we get paid. We bring offerings when we get paid. It ought to be a consistent practice in our life. So it ought to be regular. It ought to be given voluntarily. When we catch the vision of God's grace, we want to go beyond our duty. We want to give sacrificially. We do this at risk. Sometimes that pushes our faith a little bit, but we want to do that accordingly. And when we give sacrificially, again, it just changes our heart, doesn't it? We give cheerfully. We shouldn't do so begrudgingly. We give worshipfully, because worship is praise to God, and offerings and tithes are part of the worship experience. That's why we pass an offering plate here at the church, is because that's part of worship. It's part of it. And when we give that way, what happens? Well, it brings freedom in our life. So see, every time that you make a contribution to the church, you ought to say, man, God is setting me free. God's pulling my hands off of all my stuff, and he's reminding me it isn't all about me. I've never met somebody who was prideful and generous. I'm serious. When I see people that give generously, they're almost always humble people. I don't know what it is. It's just something in the economy of God that just works that way. So number one, generosity gives me tremendous freedom. But here's the second thing. Generosity helps me make an eternal impact. An eternal impact. And I want you to go with me to the sixth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal. Generosity makes an eternal investment. I love to say it like this. A debit here on earth is a credit in heaven. Amen? A debit here on earth is a credit in heaven. That's why Jesus says, don't store up for yourself just treasures on earth. We need to have a new scorecard, and on that scorecard, we ought to have treasure in heaven. Treasure in heaven. Now, one reason why treasure in heaven is so important is because everything that we got today is not going to be ours forever. I mean, the house that you live in, the condo, the apartment, whatever, somebody else is going to own that in 100 years. That car that you're driving today that you think is so slick and cool, I got bad news for you, man. That thing's depreciating, and it's going to be over at the city dump over there off Gun Club Road. You know what I'm talking about? That's where it's going to be in a short time, right? You can't have it forever, and you can't take it with you into eternity. I mean, I wish that we could. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? But all of our stuff We either leave it or we lose it, one way or another. Therefore, we ought to be focused on treasures in eternity. Most people just think about what they got. Now, I was doing a little adding up the other day. I was like, what's my net worth? I just started putting some numbers together, and not that it was like this big number, but I was just putting some things together, and I was looking at it, and I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, dang, that's lower than I thought. I don't know if you've ever looked at your savings account, and there was less than there was supposed to be. Have you ever felt that way? All right, so I had one of those moments, and I remembered that I had bought an investment property. I bought a condo, and I was like, oh, man. And so there was like a hole in my savings, you know, and I was like, well, it's not in the bank, but it's an asset, right? So I put a new column in my spreadsheet. I had like money in the bank, and then I had asset over here on this side, and I put the condo over there, and I added to it, and I started getting closer to what I thought, you know, that I might have, okay? Now, if you're really smart and you're an accountant, you probably got a better system for this, okay? I'm just like a hack on Excel spreadsheets. But I think that in the kingdom of God that we ought to add a column, and that's treasure in heaven, okay? You ought to add up all of the gifts, all the tithes and offerings you brought to the church, all of the generosity that you've given to kingdom causes. You ought to add all that up, and that's your kingdom net worth. Is that amazing? Right? Because sometimes we just are like, well, it's gone, so I'll never see it again. But remember, there's treasures in heaven. Now, I got another word of encouragement for you about treasures in heaven. Treasures in heaven is not just based on some. S-U-M. It's not just based on that. It is based on sacrifice and faith. And listen, you can be a very poor person on earth and be very rich in heaven. Amen? Sadly enough, there's a lot of people that are rich on earth, and they're going to be very poor in heaven. But we have an opportunity to remember that we are storing treasure in eternity. And every time we give, that debit to our account here on earth is a credit in eternity. It's a credit, and God knows every single nickel and dollar. And it's an awesome thing. It's an awesome thing. I was talking with a man a few years ago that was a multimillionaire. And I was like, tell me your story and, you know, tell me how you made your money and all that. And he was telling me how he had moved to this country a few years ago. And he borrowed tons and tons of money to build his business. And he leveraged everything that he owned. I mean, it was crazy. At one time, he had borrowed so much money that his wife was threatening to divorce him. Like, it just freaked her out totally, and it freaked him out and all that. But anyway, it worked out for his good. And he became a really successful business person and owned a lot of things and was very wealthy and very blessed. And he was telling me a story of just the tremendous risk that he took. And I was telling Gina about it later. And we were having a conversation even this week about how we had never really met somebody that was really wealthy that had not taken great risks, right? I mean, that's kind of part of it, isn't it? I mean, Mark Zuckerberg, Bill Gates, whoever it may be, and even like people you don't even know who they are that are wealthy, they probably have taken great risks. If you're wealthy today, you have taken some big risks. You have. And sometimes, you know, you lose money, and sometimes, you know, you make money. And I heard somebody say not too long ago that I've met a lot of poor people that have never lost a dime, but I've never met a rich person that, you know, hasn't had some loss. And that's probably true. But I think when it comes to the kingdom of God, when it comes to God's economy, that we ought to be people that are comfortable taking risks for the kingdom of God. And we want to take risks so that we can have wealth and treasure in heaven that honors God. So we take those risks. We make those sacrifices. And every time that you see somebody get baptized here at Edge Church, you ought to say to yourself, treasure in heaven, you know? I contributed to that. Every time that you see this place packed out with kids going crazy at Wild Week every summer, treasure in heaven. Right? Treasure on earth, treasure in heaven. Both. It actually is both. When you see your friends come to Christ, you're building treasure in eternity, souls for Christ. Whenever you see our church grow and advance, or you see different ministry taking place, treasure in heaven. Treasure in heaven. And we're all a part of that as we give generously and sacrificially. We have a portfolio in eternity, and we ought to add to that just as we do here on earth. Just as we do here on earth. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? And we love it, or we lose it, or we leave it here on earth, but in eternity, things last a really long time. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 18 says, "Tell them to use their money to do good, and they should be rich in good works." By the way, we're talking a lot about finances, but when you serve, you're also building treasure in heaven too. Okay? "They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future, so that they may experience true life." In other words, treasure in heaven, that's the true life. That's the good stuff. Timothy, guard what God has entrusted to you. This week I was reading about some of the missionaries that we support overseas. And every time that you give here at Edge Church, we give to missionaries. And we have a group that supports about 3,500 missionaries all over the world. And a couple of these missionaries passed away. They died this last month in a car wreck. And this couple had spent 30 years in Africa. They lived in the Ivory Coast. And I was just reading a little bit about their story. Their names were Randy and Kathy Arnett. And for 30 years, they shared the gospel in Africa and a lot in the Ivory Coast and that region of Africa. Kathy was the regional HIV/AIDS coordinator for that area. And so this couple helped people with AIDS in Africa and helped share the gospel with people, the good news of Jesus. And I thought, man, first of all, I was really sad that they died. But then I was also at the same time proud that our church has been able to give contributions every month to support people doing work like that. And I thought, treasure in heaven. Treasure in heaven. That's good. That's what it's all about. Yeah, we ought to put our hands together for that, because that really is what it's all about. It's about making a huge difference in the world. It really is. Treasure in heaven. Treasure in heaven. And so in this Monopoly series, we've been challenged to think a little differently about our finances. And this is exactly what Jesus was describing when he said, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Well, there's also a third thing, and that is simply is this. Generosity makes me like Christ. Generosity makes me like Christ. Now, the goal of the Christian life is to be like who? Like Christ, right? Last time I checked, we're supposed to be like him. We all fall a little short, but we got a goal, don't we? And the goal is to be Christ-like, to be like Christ, to be like him. And when we give, we are like Christ, because Jesus was generous, wasn't he? John 3:16, the most famous verse in the Bible, says, "For God so loved the world that he what? That he gave his one and only Son." And Jesus laid down his life as a sacrifice, as a ransom, the Bible says. So when we give, we're like Jesus. And Jesus taught generosity. Jesus affirmed generosity. In Luke chapter 21, there's a widow that brings her two mites, which is the smallest increment of cash, of coin, in the biblical times, worth less than a penny. And she drops her two mites into the temple treasury there in the courts of the temple. And Jesus commends her and he says, listen, this widow has given more than all you other suckers, you know? And it wasn't because of the amount, it was because of the sacrifice and the faith with which that she gave. So Jesus taught it, he commended it, he illustrated it. Jesus took the fishes and the loaves, and what did he do? Oh, he multiplied them. Did you know Jesus can do a lot with a little? I mean, he can take meager little things like fishes and loaves, and he can do profound things with them, amazing things. So Jesus illustrates that. The little boy gave his lunchbox to Jesus, and Jesus used it. And so giving is all the way through the Gospels. It's all the way through the ministry of Jesus. Jesus taught it in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Give, give. And generosity shows love, and being a follower of Jesus is all about loving others. It really is. And loving others can be illustrated so much in generosity. It really can. It draws our heart closer to God. In fact, every time that you make a contribution, guess what? Your heart gets a little closer to God. Do you know that? Self becomes a little bit less of a priority. It goes like this. And God goes in our life. It really does. So generosity makes me more like Christ. That's why we ought to strive for it. That's why Jesus said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive, because it makes us more like Christ. We're less like Christ when we're like me, 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 me. We're more like Christ when we give, when we're generous, and our heart grows. And that's why Philippians 2, 4, and 5 says, don't look out for only your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Jesus was always about others. Others first. Put others before myself. Others. Finally, generosity empowers me to be blessed. Okay? Now, we can talk about the treasures in heaven. That's all true. But don't take your eye off the ball today, church. Don't miss this. Because when you are generous, you put yourself in the position to be blessed. And there's nothing greater in the world than the blessings of God. Okay? And here's one of the principles of being a blessed person, is you're generous. Look at Luke 6:38. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured out into your lap. For the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. Now, in the ancient world, when you would go into the markets and buy grain, you'd have like a little paper bag, and you would hand it to the person selling grain, and they would, you know, fill it up. And then they would shake it, and they would press it down. Why would they do that? Because people didn't want to get ripped off, right? And when they would shake it and press it down, then it enabled there to be more room. Okay? And I don't know about you, if you've ever like been to the store and maybe you know bought something and you're going to pay a certain price for a bag, you're going to try and cram everything you can into that bag, right? I opened up some chips for lunch, and like one of those little bitty lunch deals that goes in my kids' lunch. It was 2/3 air. There was nothing in there. I'm not kidding. It felt like there were two chips in there. I felt like I had been totally ripped off. I'm like, somebody is making bank, man. You know? You budget to have the bag full, and then you just fill it up like this. Okay, that's not God's economy. That's not what God's got. When we give, God says, I will bless, give, and it will be given to you. How much? Pressed down, shaken together, and then he says, running over, pour it into your lap. Somebody say amen. That's pretty good. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So if you want God to bless your life, then just decide how much blessing that you want. Right? I mean, if you want to have a little blessing, then be a little bit generous. If you want to have a big blessing, be really generous. Because the same measure that you use to give will be given back to you. So giving is not about losing only. It's about giving and then receiving back from the Lord what God has done. So when we make contributions, when we tithe, when we give, when we help others, what, you know, that money goes out, but in God's economy, he's flowing things back in, right? And then we pour it back out, and then God pours it back in. We have this tendency to get everything we've got and hold on to it as much as we can, because we're like, well, what am I going to do 9 months from now? You know, Well, guess what? God's got provision for you in 9 months. God's got provision for you tomorrow. God's got provision for you 10 years from now. So we got to build our faith and our confidence and our trust in God. Give, and it will be given back to you. Psalm 112, verse 9, the Bible says, "The world of the generous gets larger and larger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller." I love that verse. At our men's group on Wednesday night, one of our men, Sean Reynolds, shared a little story about what God was doing in his life. He decided to take the 90-day challenge that we've been talking about the last few weeks, and I know some of you are wanting to sign up for that today. And that little packet's in the chair in front of you. And the 90-day challenge is just basically a challenge to say, I'm going to be a tither for at least 90 days, and I'm going to see what God's going to do in my life. So on Friday, Sean said, this is Friday a couple weeks ago, on a Friday, hey, we're going to make our first gift to the church. We're going to tithe. We signed the card and all that. And he got online, and he made his contribution, and he's like, I don't know how all the bills are going to work out. Because I'm not seeing it all. It's not all working, and I'm not sure, but we're going to take the step of faith. So he goes to work, and when he gets to work, he gets a call from another company that offers him a job paying a higher salary. And he's like, woo, amen. I mean, he was excited. He was doing like a little Holy Ghost dance, you know, like, whoa, amen. And so he goes in to quit his job, and his boss is obviously disappointed, and he's like, oh, man, I don't want to lose you, but okay. So a couple of days later, you know, he's still got his two-week notice, so it's a couple of days later, and his boss calls him into his office, and he says, listen, I talked to my supervisor, and my boss said, we need to pay you whatever we need to pay you to keep you in the company. Is that awesome? And he's like, Pastor, I just signed up for the challenge, and I already got two raises. And I'm like, that is amazing. Amen. You cannot outgive God. You cannot do it. You cannot do it. You cannot outgive Him. So listen, remember this. When you're generous, God's going to be generous to you. And that's why you can help others. And that's why you can be faithful. And that's why you can take steps of faith. And that's why you can do things that people in your family may go, she's crazy. And that's why you can take those bold actions, man, when you're being generous. Because you know that God is going to put it back on you. And God's going to do something awesome in your life. So don't forget it. Don't forget it. I'm so blessed because when I'm generous, I'm more like Christ. I'm freed from greed and covetousness. I'm so blessed because it increases my capacity to be blessed. And I'm blessed because I got treasures in heaven. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer?